listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicky.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 26th already. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Sure glad to be here and everybody in the chat room. It's awesome. End of August, you're right, already.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It's gone by so incredibly fast.
Yeah.
But we welcome those joining us live. Happy to see people in the chat. And we welcome those listening to the archives. Glad you could join us. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. So tonight, keep it light and easy.
I think we'd be remiss to not send out some, hopefully some protective energy to the folks of Louisiana who are right buckling under to Hurricane Laura.
Mm-hmm.
I know that
Wendy
has said in the chat that she's getting the outer bands of the hurricane where she is, but doesn't expect it to be too bad. Dr. Stephen is saying he's in northwest Arkansas, and he said it's raining there. So, you know, this is a big one, and it's a dangerous one. So, people, I hope you can run for cover and take care of yourselves, and, you know, we're all thinking of you.
Absolutely, we are. And if you're in that region, take all the precautions necessary and don't take it lightly, especially in the New Orleans area. We're keeping you in our thoughts and we're wishing the absolute best. And being from Florida, I've been through my share, and we had a rough one in Hurricane Charlie in 2004.
Mm.
So I can definitely empathize. And it's nothing to joke about, so I definitely hope everybody takes the right precautions.
That was a rough one for you and your family at that time, wasn't it, Michael?
Yeah, it was pretty rough on southwest Florida here than where it hit. But each hurricane, that was a Category 4 also. And every hurricane, it just, wherever it hits, it's going to leave a big impact.
Packs a punch for sure. My heart goes out to the people who can't afford to evacuate or, you know, have a hard time hitching a ride or catching a bus, you know, everything. And it happened pretty fast. Laura wasn't expected to, you know, gain this much momentum, but, you know, she sure did. And so, I mean, that's where I know a lot of people can get out and they have the wherewithal and, you know, and the finances, but so many people are really, you know, require assistance. And let's hope. Let's just hope that there isn't too many casualties as a result of this or injuries. So,
absolutely.
Everybody's telling their stories in the chat room. So, Wendy said that she was through Katrina, but they don't get easier. Wow, you know,
yeah,
brutal. So this is nature, and this is, you know, kind of goes right along with our topic.
It does.
Tonight, and maybe not as profoundly to say the metaphysics of life and death, but certainly change, mm-hmm. and nature and natural change, and you know, this is part of earth law, natural law, universal law, and you know, everything is constantly in flux and changing, the ever, you know, transiting tides, so to speak. I know you had a few points that you wanted to bring up tonight, Michael. So
yeah, but those were all of them, and now I don't have anything else to say. So thanks a lot. We're just going to wing it. We don't have anything prepared. But and you're absolutely right. This is a perfect – it is an analogy for what life is. It's change. It's the natural law. It's a natural part of life. You know, whether it's – this or something else, life happens to everybody eventually. And it's, you know, when thinking about this topic, you know, when thinking about the metaphysics of it, well, that's just, you know, awareness, and our study of the awareness of the human life is as best that we can from our perspective. But I think often on, you know, some tenets of Buddhist philosophy, wherein they have, of course, a rather complicated notion of reincarnation, rebirth, and eventual, if you can get there, nirvana. But they also have a lot of great parables and stories from the Buddha, where he would, for example, was approached by a student once, and the student asked him, you know, he was frustrated because he'd been studying with the Buddha for many months and he hadn't learned some of the secrets to the universe that he'd been hoping for, such as, where did the universe come from? Where do we go after we die, and with certainty, and things like that. And the Buddha basically said, and I'm going to paraphrase heavily, it's going to sound much less wise, but he said, it doesn't matter where we came from, it doesn't matter what's in the next life, what matters is what we do with this life, and the here and now. And it's a good way to remember to keep your mind in the present, in the world around you, because it's a cliche, but we can't take every, you know, day lightly. We can't always assume that we have time on our side, so we have to appreciate the transient nature of life, that everything is moving, changing all the time. Every moment is unique in and of itself, and sometimes it's just wise to stop and take notice of these things. But I also want to get into some other just topics of, you know, what is life after death? Of course, there is no definitive answer that we will obviously provide, because we're, you know, more reason-based. Of course, I know you and I, we both have our theories on things. And of course, one of the tenets of metaphysical humanism is that there is some form of life after death. So, Dr. Hunter, would you like to talk to us about your thoughts when it comes to perhaps reincarnation?
Well, I think that for me, it's a comfortable notion and a comfortable belief system. But I don't disregard the quantum mechanics or quantum physics that, you know, entertains the idea that all things are happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's just what we are viewing it as, a past or present, when it could be simultaneous in an alternate space-time. And I'm down with that. I think that that's entirely possible. However, in a linear view, where we come from, where we're going, of course, the soul absolutely is, in my experience and my view, constantly changing. It's just the house changes, so to speak. So, energy, I've had a shared death experience. I have witnessed extraordinarily that spirit energy leaving a body, and profoundly impacted me. I have had the experience of, you know, temporarily leaving my body and coming back, and with that, how that impacted me. And tremendous memory, and then also worked with a lot of people, particularly children, who tell extraordinary stories and if memory. Now, the other thing, though, to consider is, and this is where it gets really interesting for me, is we live in this kind of scope where we think the past is the past and the future still before us, but there's also future lives. And that's where I think that quantum, you know, capacity comes in, where future lives and you're traveling to the past, and this is the past in some realm. And so I find that all very universally interesting, but mm-hmm. I think it's all very possible. And it's all this transiting, you know, we transit from. So in again, in my view, it's, you know, we're part of the universe, and these aspects of that universal energy formulating a soul that, you know, locks on and connects with the DNA, some kind of physical form, and then those merge together to create a new mind. That's what I think the whole entire body is the mind. I don't think the mind is in our brain. I think it's one experiential embodiment that is the mind. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that we, when we're done with that mind force, that body, then, you know, the body, you know, as they say, ashes to ashes, you know, fertilizer to the ground.
Right.
And, but the spirit leaves and it ascends. And I think that there is a lot of theories about where the spirit might transit, where it stops, where it goes, but that it continues. And that's what we do know, is that energy is always changing form.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
It's, you know, it's the first law of thermodynamics, and that, you know, it's constant. And that is in the course material M2, I believe, one of my favorite courses at IMHS. And so that we understand that if energy is energy and it's continually changing, we have to, from an emotional point of view, be able to conceive of this is death and life.
Right.
It's that constant changing of birthing and dying and birthing and dying. And, of course, we have so many attachments because we're in a human body that's emotional,
mm-hmm.
and we're grounded in a lot of emotion. Then we tend not to like it, because I think the human experience, we're just hell-bent on immortality, you know?
I know, I am.
And fighting aging and fighting, you know, it's like we want youth and we want vitality and we're never going to die and we're afraid of it. And but, you know, a lot of that, you know, again, I have to inject this, a lot of our social fears around death and dying comes from religion,
mm-hmm.
and in my view, but and it's propelled by the community, you know, and yet if we experience it from a metaphysical point of view, don't you agree, Michael, then we have kind of a different take. That doesn't mean you won't face fears.
Right.
You know, because I think we all have, you know, hesitations about this.
And the fear is a natural part of life as well. You know, we, mm-hmm. it's rather unavoidable. And what we're talking about is also completely universal. We're all going to have to deal with it, no matter how much we might want to delay it with whatever, you know, remedies we can to try to keep our vitality and try to keep the aging away. It's something that is inevitable. But one thing I will say, when you're speaking about, you know, traditional dogmatic religion, you're probably thinking maybe along the lines of hell and fiery, you know, punishment afterlife, that you're judged afterlife, you know.
And that's where the fears really get rooted.
I always thought of it as a fear of the unknown, just a fear that you just don't know what's going to happen next. And it's just also completely baked into our genes. We have a drive to live and to survive. It always interested me that, yes, there is a evolution. You can see the evolution of species. You can see how biology works. You can see how organisms develop. My question has always been, what is it that gives everything that drive, that just utter desire to live? Everything has that push. Where does that
energy
come from?
Yeah. That's and how we are propelled with hope and, you know, and desire and that. And to me, that's that spiritual energy, that universal force, if you will. I think my question ultimately is, how much will I remember when I leave here? And in how much of my mind force will I retain as I go forward? And, you know, I have what I believe a lot of memory from past lives, but how much of those past lives, and I'm trying to live this one, and it finally occurred to me, this, unless something needs to be heard, don't go back digging in there, because it doesn't mean anything if you're living in the present. And yet, to be living in the present is to have full memory. So that's where I get kind of, you know, I in my mental, you know, wanderings.
Well, it is interesting. We can never truly know what happens in the next phase of existence. I've always thought that whatever is beyond this, you know, material realm that we can perceive and understand with our level and ability of understanding is far more complicated and intricate and beautiful than we can understand or comprehend at this time. And perhaps when we're in this, you know, abstract state where we're not tied to a physical existence, maybe that is when we have our full memory. You know, I've had discussions with people where it's said that, you know, the notion of reincarnation is kind of a downer because it negates the relationships that you have in this life, because we've had an infinite number of lives. So what do the loved ones in this life really mean if you've had an infinite number of lives with an infinite number of fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, friends, family? Well, it doesn't lessen it, because it's special and unique in its own right each and every time.
I see, and I think it fortifies it. It means to say, I'll see you again. We're just going to have a different dynamic. So it's like a soul meets a soul. We don't necessarily recognize a physical form, but we can recognize an energy, like a spiritual essence, if you will. And to me, that's reassuring in some ways. You know, I had once an old teacher who said that we never meet anyone in this life we haven't met before. You know, in some way or another. It's just some are more impactful than others. And he also believed that, you know, as we have come in clusters, that there would be a time when those clusters would reunite. People of, you know, the souls of those clusters would and then ascend, transcend, and however that goes. But, and that's a theory, and that very, very well may be. But it's still, I think no matter where I've gone with these existential questions, I've inevitably come back to this moment. Does my life count? And I think how much my life really counts here, and the impact that it has, is going to assist in the memory of whatever I take with me. And I know that it might sound like there's ego involved in that, but I don't mean it that way.
The truth, I think, the truth of each of our lives is that we will never truly understand how much our lives matter or what kind of impact we truly had. Those kinds of impacts will ripple through time in ways we can't track, because you can't truly know the mind of another human, so you don't know how you impact them and how that influence then leads on to how they influence somebody else, and so on and so forth through the butterfly effect. And it's, we all add to the, you know, social discussion, and every life matters. And it's just one of those things that, from our perspective, we'll never truly be able to see the impact that our life truly has.
You know, understanding, and everyone here in the chat and those who are listening, you know, we are students of metaphysics. And I recently got told by a good friend how grounded and logical I tend to bring everything. And yet, you know, I can still be intuitive and heightened sensitivity and so on. And I said, but it has to make sense. And to me, as above, so below. And I know that's kind of a religious take on things. I don't mean it to be. But it's... to me, there's no difference of how I treat people versus how I treat spirits. you know, or and seeing spirits in my relationships with them, or how I might have intuitive thoughts. It's like for me to be consistent, but also to be thoughtful about it, like to think about it and have a good mind while I'm still being, you know, feeling my way through it and sensing my way through it. There still is an intellect that gives me, I hope, a more grounded view of it. And that's what mm-hmm. a metaphysician does. It's to stay out of, you know, somebody said to me not long ago, well, this is meant to happen. I said, well, perhaps, but you also made that happen. Like
right.
you're, the fact that you're awake to it and you agree with it, that energy continues to go, means that you're a participant and you agree with it. But you can put the brakes on anything at any time. So you could say that's meant to happen too. You know, see, it's like, so mm-hmm. it's being able to take full responsibility for our thought in this moment. It's not just the thinking of my next action, it's the entirety of my thought and the responsibility of my thought in this moment. So if I say, well, that's meant to happen, being careful with that, you see, because mm-hmm. I think energy is propelling whether we're aware of it or not. When you become conscious of it, doesn't mean it didn't happen. You're just being conscious of it and continuing to go with that flow of that, if that makes sense.
It does.
Did I just make sense?
Okay. I'm going to say yes.
I hope so. Because it's what we agree to. And so this whole, again, the whole notion of, you know, deliberate intent, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But why does it work for some people and not others? Because each of us has our own ride.
That's and very true. It's always going to be a mix of influences.
So the point is to watch that we're not privileged in our thinking. If that works for someone like me, then would it work for the next one and the next one and the next one? So how come it worked for somebody else but not for me? You know, and being able to see that we have created societies that create privileges and opportunities for certain ones and not for everyone. So we live in an imbalance of energy in a way. So how do we balance that energy? And what we, it's to see what's the center. What's the center force running down through that? Much the same as knowing that your spirit or your soul is what, you know, connects us all. Universal mm-hmm. energy connects us all. It's like looking for that thread. And again, being responsible for our thinking and our thought energy. But, we're fallible too, you know, we screw up, so
well,
we got to keep learning about that.
I mean, maybe some of us, but no,
not me.
I think I'm more fallible than most. I'm not entirely sure, but no, I'm kidding. Mm. But I was just going to say, you know, it's. I'm sorry, I got lost in the fallibility joke.
That's all right.
That's because we are all fallible.
The point to our real discussion here is the metaphysics of life and death, and that's even in a thought. The thought
exactly.
I had a minute ago is going to change in five.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
But the thought that I'm having right now and also had about 30 seconds ago was that the very fact that we can think in such complicated terms is something I'm frankly very grateful for. The fact that we can ponder the big questions is something to be thankful for, to be aware that of the privilege that you have as a human being on this planet amongst all the other creatures. You know, every species, I'm sure, has the benefit, you know, ups and downs of their own existence and the pleasures that come with it. But the fact that we human beings can truly grapple with these questions, that we have such a thing called metaphysics, that we continually try to understand our awareness and what it means, you know, to say, I think, therefore I am, is really one of the only concrete things that we have. And, you know, there's no true way to know what happens in the next phase of reality, if there is one. And I hope and believe that there is. But, you know, I'm also of the mind that if I can't know it for a fact, a reasonable fact, then I'm not going to put my full belief and faith into something, which is basically anything with life after death. There are a lot of things that I think. There are a lot of things that I think would be make sense, but it's very difficult for me to say this is the truth, because who can? What arrogance? What pompous arrogance do you have to say that this is what happens after life? Maybe you can even peer into a sliver of what happens through, you know, different experiences, but the true grand scope of existence is beyond anybody's understanding. And I'm thinking, of course, mostly with traditional dogmatic religion, where they say, this is what happens after you die. This is what you have to be careful for. How do you know?
I think what we've notoriously been trying to do is find a language to articulate an experience. And that in and of itself has a limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Finding the right word and being responsible. Hey, look, most people don't speak responsibly anyway. Like, I'm always saying, excuse me, what did you mean by that? It's trying to figure out what people mean, and they don't really know what they mean themselves. So for us to then, you know, explore existentialism and the meaning of our life, we have to be very careful that we're using a language that's limited, because the experience is the experience, and no matter how I might try to relay my experience to you, it's already watered down when mm-hmm. I try to find a word.
And the only way that we can even have communication is because we have shared, references and experiences. But when it comes to something like this, which is so personal and such a, an idea to be expressed verbally, of course there's going to be something lost in translation, because when I hear it, I have to then relate to things that I can point to and find. And there is something lost in that translation.
Well, if you have an experience, the minute you think about it, something's lost. And yet, I'm a thinker, so I need to think about what was that experience, and is it a repeatable experience? And to me, that's part of self-mastery.
So you can't be in the moment and think about being in the moment at the same time?
Well, be in the moment, but then we're always a moment behind and a moment ahead, aren't we?
Hmm.
It's like, I had this experience, now I need to think about it, so I'm really put myself a minute behind. But what will that mean? Then I'm a step in the future. So I think there's always that oscillation of time through thought. And we're not just experiential, but does that make sense? It's like we're always oscillating 5 minutes ago to 5 minutes ahead.
And everything's in a dynamic flux. Mm-hmm. Everything's in a, semi-chaotic state of order and disorder.
Well, and the same with emotion. You could deal with an issue that's 20 years old and you say, whoa, I thought I dealt with that. But it comes up again. So that's, moving to the past and bringing to the moment. And we're always in that oscillation of experience, but that's in human form. I wonder how that works in energy. Would it work much the same way? And I expect so. But again, we're speculating.
Well, it's all wonderful speculation. I love the questions that have no true answers, because they're the funnest to discuss and talk about. They're the funnest to kind of grapple with. And, I've kind of come to the point in my life where it doesn't matter what happens in the next life, because, whatever it will be, it will be. And I can't worry about judgment from somebody who I have to take some guy's word on it. Mm-hmm. So, as Thomas Paine, the famous philosopher, said, if he was not granted the revelation, therefore he is not trusting in God, he is trusting in what a man is saying about God.
Mm.
And that's kind of that's my take on it too. I have not had a revelation, if I were to put my faith in something, it would be putting my faith in what somebody is saying, not an experience or a revelation that I've had. Mm. More to the point, I've taken the position that it doesn't matter, because this life has value, this life matters. I can experience things, mm-hmm. I can enjoy this life, I can exist as the human animal that I am and truly live this life. And whatever happens next is fine. But I've already had a better life than many just by, being born in a first world nation, I've had opportunities and access to a lot of things that the majority of people on this planet don't. That's one thing. And I live in an age of technological advancement to where my asthma can be treated, my eyes can be fixed with, corrective lenses and things like that. I can continue to exist.
Take a Tylenol.
I can take a Tylenol. I can take Pepto-Bismol if my stomach's upset.
Yeah.
That is far more than you can say for anybody in our human past. It's been a much more difficult existence. So I just take the fact that in this life, look at the things that are valuable to you and hold on to them and appreciate them. Because whatever comes next will come next. But a lot of times it's about realizing we don't have forever, even though sometimes it feels like it if you're bored especially. But we have a finite amount of time. So appreciate your life, appreciate those around you, appreciate your friends and your family.
Well, when you mentioned about not worrying about the next life, all I know is that I have, in this lifetime, been putting together a whole report for when I return to the home planet.
Mm.
And
that's Mormonism, isn't it?
So, the home planet, well, we're going to... And if I can just segue into... Fran is with us this evening. We haven't seen her in a while. She's mentioned that she had undertaken a huge move, now living in Wyoming. And so glad to have you back, Fran.
It is.
But she'd mentioned in the chat that she'd been seeing UFOs. And I'm saying, oh, my buddies, some of my friends. And I think that that's another great discussion we're going to have in a couple of weeks. And because she described an experience, and I've had that several times, so I'm looking forward to maybe delving into more of that in a future program. I know next week we're going to have Dr. Kelly with us, which will be fun.
And just going back to that part about the UFOs, it strikes me as funny. People have, somebody posted online, I read, it's so crazy right now that the Pentagon basically just admitted that UFOs and aliens are real and nobody really cares.
Because isn't that true?
There's news that came out a while back, basically where, camera footage from different military agencies or militaries from around the world, not just America. I think it was Argentinian as well, but of just different objects that could not be explained and different unexplainable events. So it's an interesting world that we live in. Another thing appreciate.
It is. So, Fran, please come back because we want to know more about your experiences. And that'll be, well, come back next week, but the week after. I'm going to depend on you for some good chat stimulation here. Anybody like a card drawn tonight? Mm-hmm. The Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards that Michael will pull, and I'll pull a tarot as support. And we'll see what we little messages can come up for you. So while you're putting your names in the chat and, we see them, I think tonight has been a really good – look, it's thought-provoking, right? And it's a good way to share and like-minded people who can stimulate each other to activate new ideas and new thoughts. I think you're brilliant, Michael.
Well, I know you're just saying that.
Yeah,
but, I was also going to remark, Dr. Stephen had put in about a conversation about the curtain beyond which, I'll read it verbatim, beyond which post-death consciousness arrives at, which is something I had been reading on earlier this evening, and one of the points I was actually thinking about coming around to is the very physical nature of the moment of death. And how it differs from when your heart stops to when your brain actually ceases to function. The potential that at the moment of death it can be detected a euphoric sense that floods the body, another interesting notion. So there's a lot more on this topic we could get into, but you are absolutely right. It is time for cards. It's our, one of our favorite aspects of the broadcast. And I think I have to...
Dr. Stephen is up first.
I know, I don't believe it either, but...
Yeah, I mean, we don't get to pull one for Dr. Stephen very often, so let's go for it, Michael.
Well, if you're going to get a card pulled, it might as well be my favorite. I know we've said it in the past, but it's wild card number one, Paradox.
Oof, that Paradox card.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, now, in support of paradox, Stephen, two came out together. The Page of Cups and the Chariot. So I say that that's all to do with communication and moving forward with all the forces together. So, you know, I think literally the Chariot is negative and positive in balance and the driving force. But when you have the communicator there, it's the driving force of your heart and speaking on your own behalf and knowing that, you know, life is that paradox, but that you are communicating more and continuing to do that, there's forward movement here. So I think that's an affirmation in a way. So continue forward. Awesome.
All right.
We have Audra, and Audra has asked if Ace can have a card also. So
okay.
We'll just insert that. I know there was a couple of people that mentioned it before Audra, but with Ace, but we'll just do Audra and Ace.
Do a twofer.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, the comment has been made several times that the movie Arrival ties in to all this quite nicely, and it's true, it does. I've seen the movie.
All right.
I think it's good. I'm just going to throw that out there for Audra. But Audra, all right, let's see what we have. I pulled number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, I don't recall when we've pulled this one in the High Priestess. It's in the Major Arcana of the Tarot. That's everything to do with intuition, Audra. Everything to do with your intuitive self. So learning to validate your intuition. Learning to have more regard for your intuition. Sometimes we can't explain what we feel, and as long as it's not a jaded kind of, kind of a prejudice that we have, but to, you know, analyze that for a second and use your intuition. So I think that's the message there for you. I love that High Priestess. Very powerful.
Very nice.
So let's pull one for Ace, shall we? Nice to have you with us, Ace.
Absolutely. Let's see. I have number 33, preference or principle. Or preference over principle.
Interesting. Good one.
A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, temperance is in support of that one. Temperance is going with the flow. And sometimes that really is what I call pushing the pause button and observing. And so I think the preference versus principle and in support of is pushing that pause button to say, is this something I want to be involved with? Is this something that requires my attention? And maybe I'm just going to slow down a little bit and go with the flow. So it's just having that good balance. So that's just a little message for you, if that makes sense. Hopefully it does. But, you know, I have a feeling, Ace, that you're in a change, you know, some kind of shifts, internal emotional shifts. So when I sense that, the Temperance card is really good. It just means that you're able to be calmer and just be observant and say, you know what, I'm just going to chill this out until I figure it out. So good for you. I think Wendy is up next. Michael? Have we lost you? Are we here?
No, I've been here the entire time. You can't hear me?
You had your mute button.
I did. All right, Wendy, I have pulled expediency for you. Hmm. Number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, in support of that, that's the King of Diamonds, so the King of Pentacles in tarot language. Expediency with that, I'm gonna go toward the work lane for you, Wendy, and it might require you to step up to the plate. So it's like step up and take charge of a situation or make an immediate decision. And again, expediency can be both in that you need to think about it before you act, but the other is knowing when to act. So it's like you might be called upon to take charge, manage, you know, operate in a way that is just a little bit unfamiliar in your workplace. It would also sense to me about some male energy, but when you have to take on a challenge, that's calling upon your own male energy also. So I'm just going to go with that you're up for this, you have the confidence for it, and you'll know when to act. So just trust yourself.
All right.
Well, now we have Fran. So glad to pull cards for Fran, too.
Yep, absolute pleasure. And Fran, I pulled number 39, education.
Ah.
Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, in support of education, Fran, is the Two of Clubs, so Two of Wands. And it's, if you just want to, I'm going to give you a picture on this, and although if I was looking at a regular deck of playing cards, seeing the Two of Clubs, I wouldn't necessarily see this, but it's a tarot in the Rider-Waite, and it's an advantage. So think of the guy holding the world, looking out upon the water, you know, from his vantage point of the castle. You know, it's what is it that you're balancing and looking for in the world? What can you do? If I literally take the Two of Clubs, like if I'm looking at a regular deck of playing cards, I see partnership. I see changes in the self for partnership. I see camaraderie, new obligations, you know, and lining up your energy. So when we put education along with that, it's putting your education into effect. Also looking at learning about your new community, perhaps, and where you fit and how you can contribute to that energy. And I think that would make sense anyway. But this is, you're going to play an important role in some regard and find your place. But I can see collaborations coming up, and that's really awesome. So,
very nice.
Awesome. Good, good.
All right.
I don't see any other...
No, I think we got everybody, and I'm just glancing through myself to make sure we didn't miss anybody. And
well, again,
I think we're good.
Talking about the movie Arrival, Taken was another one that was mentioned. What was the other movie that was...
Oh, I think those are the only two, except there must be a movie other than the famous Liam Neeson film, Taken, that is out there that, because I'm not familiar with it, but should be a good one. But no, it's been a great discussion, and we have a lot more that we could talk about it, such as the, you know, the curtain, as Dr. Stephen had called it, an interesting concept. But, and like you had said, Dr. Kelly is going to be joining us next week. So we're going to have a great discussion, and we'll announce the topic ahead of time. And, you know, I can say it's always a pleasure, and thanks for...
And once again, to everyone in Texas, Louisiana, and all those, you know, inland states, again, we are sending out the very best of protection, and, you know, we're thinking of you. We hope that this is with minimal amount of casualty and damage. So
just stay safe out there, above and beyond.
Absolutely.
But, well, thank you everybody for joining us. It's always a good discussion, and I always love the live chat. We get such a dynamic feedback, and I look forward to you joining us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.